the original social network. Instant, interactive, and you don't need a computer. Brisbane's own.
116-4BC.
Brisbane's own 116-4BC, and in profile tonight I'm talking to author Andrew Jobling, who's created Dance Until It Rains, some life lessons from his mum, and thanks for sharing those with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome, Walter. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you in Walt's World, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
It is a good read.
You've had a read of it?
I have.
Oh, good.
And I like the title. Can you briefly tell us how you came up with that title? Because I'm pretty sure it's to do with an ancient Indian legend.
Oh, how did you know?
I'm just guessing.
Very, very clever.
Well, very astute.
It's interesting how, I guess, you come up with titles for books. You know, you sit there and you go, I've got no idea. What am I going to call this book? And one of the things, I mean, the biggest lesson that I got, I guess, from my mum was her ability to just hang in there and overcome, you know, and just really persist. And it was when I'm just thinking, what am I going to call it? All of a sudden I was listening to an audio CD, and this story was told, the story about Dance Until It Rains, and I thought, bingo, that's it. Mm. So, you know, and the story really is, and I mean, you've read the story, obviously, so you understand that it is a story of persistence and overcoming and keep going until you get the results that you want. You know, it's not necessarily easy, nor is it necessarily going to happen when you want it to happen, but it's just a really nice little story that, and I love Dance Until It Rains. I just think if everyone out there could just have that attitude that I will dance until it rains, I will just keep going until I get the result, I think we'd have a lot more people doing a lot more amazing stuff out there.
And you're right, it is about the power of persistence, and you can't underestimate that, can you?
You can't. I mean, the only reason why people, I guess, fails the wrong word, I think, when people, you know, we all want to be healthier, fitter, leaner, we want to be more successful in a better relationship, we want to make more money, and I think what stops us is us. You know, we get to a point where we think, oh, this is a bit harder than I thought, or it's taking a bit longer than I thought, and we stop, and when you look at, I mean, you look at yourself with the success you've had, and
oh, yes, it's all happening.
Well, to be where you are right now has taken some persistence, right?
It has,
and that's the only way people ever achieve what they want is that have that attitude, oh, we'll just keep going until I get it,
yep.
No matter how long it takes or what I have to overcome.
That's right. 30 years in the business to get to this point.
Well, mate, you've got a story to tell, and your story will inspire people, just like my mum's story will inspire people.
And it will indeed. And we'll talk about your story a little bit later too, Andrew, and how you're inspiring people on a regular basis as well. Now, when you decided to formulate the action plan for Dance Until It Rains, was this prior to mum's death?
Yes, it was. There was a defining moment. My mum was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1988, and then she was diagnosed with secondary cancer in her liver in 1991, and then for the next 14, 15 years, she battled that disease, and she, my golly, did she fight like I've never seen anyone fight. In my case, I actually had my head buried very, very deeply in the sand for most of it, and I just never wanted to accept that she had cancer, never wanted to accept that there's a chance that she might die, and therefore I never really let it sink in. And about two or three months before she died, it was September, and it was actually my 40th birthday, and we were away in Queensland for a week, and it was at that time, I said to her, I said, I'm actually thinking of writing a book about you. And she said in her typical humble way, you know, why would anyone be interested in listening to reading about my story? And so I said, well, I want to get to know you. And isn't it amazing after, you know, at that time she was 69 years old, and I said to her, I want to get to know you. And I spent the next couple of days talking to her about her life and her ups and downs and good times and bad times and, you know, and the struggles that she'd had with the disease and her ability to... And it just all of a sudden, I looked at her and I looked at life differently. I looked at her no longer... You know how we look at our mums as, mum looks after me, she protects me, she feeds me, she puts clothes on me and that sort of stuff. And often I don't think we ever really recognise that our mum is a person that, just like all of us, wants to live a happy life and be loved and cared about and be, you know, that have significance. significance. And that was such a defining moment for me. And that was when the idea was born. And then, you know, the following 2 or 3 months was probably the most horrendous of my life to date, when, you know, she really went downhill rapidly. And then obviously it took a while to pick myself up after after she died. And so it's been really a 6.5 year journey to having started the book to have it actually now published in the stores, which is pretty amazing feeling.
Thank you, Exile.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think at the turning point then is where you realise that she's no longer just a mum, she's this person.
That's right.
Who's very vulnerable, who's got her own life experiences to tell you. And I think it's good that you reached that point, and you reached it only in your 40s. I had to wait till I was in my late 40s before I sort of got to that point with my mum. My mum's still with us, God bless her, but I've done a similar thing in sitting down and just chatting with her and trying to record some of her memories of the family and things like that. I think it's good so we can pass it on to the next generation.
Well, I think because I look at everyone differently now. Yeah, you look at people, I hate to say old people, but more mature people, people in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and you look at them and we just look at them and go, oh, they're old. But they've got a life, they've had a life, their stories, they were young ones, they did crazy things.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got a story, and I think, I just look at everyone differently now, and I think, I'd love to sit down with you and hear about your life.
Because
no matter, and I believe this about every single person, that no matter where you've been or what you've done or what you have or haven't achieved, you can inspire people. And that's why I wrote this book, because not because Mum's anything, for me she's amazing, but you know, she's an average person.
Yeah, but I think you hit the nail on the head when you said everyone has a story. And that's how I feel it is with my listeners at 4BC as well. And we find out these stories and we peel another layer off the onions that are our lives with people from time to time. And it's great when you do that, Andrew.
I look back now and, you know, devastated I was when Mum died. Now, 6 years later, what an amazing blessing she was in her life and the journey that I've been on since she died. And, I can honestly say I'm no longer sad at losing her, because I know I haven't lost her, and I also know that, you know, the life she has lived and the things she did will live on way, way, way beyond my time, beyond anyone.
Through this book, at least.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good on you, Sue.
Yep, she's a champion.
Absolutely. Well done. Every day is a lesson in this book too, because you've got your chapters. I like the way you've devised the whole book. You have a chapter which tells a story. It has a famous quote, and then from various people. Then you have lessons that can be learned from these chapters. I like the structure. What was the thinking there?
I've got to thank the publishers. I've got to thank Exile, because they sort of helped me, because the initial structure of the book was initially Mum's story, and then the second half of the book was more sort of how to, you know, a bit more instructional, I guess. And they were pretty quick to say, listen, you know, self-help and personal development stuff, there's a million different books out there, and
that's right,
most of them say the same thing. So you've got to package it so that it's unique. And they said the thing that's unique about this is your mum. And so that's why, I mean, I wanted to draw the lessons out, because I think, look, hopefully we can all see the lessons anyway, but just in case, there are certain lessons that I think are really worth reinforcing. There's a lot more lessons in the book than what I've actually highlighted at the end of the chapters. But they're the ones, I think, these are the key lessons. And I think I want to like the story. I want them to be affected emotionally by the story. And then at the end of the story, there's like a bit of an action plan. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I think people, when they're... And I know this for me, when I'm emotional, I'm more likely to actually take action on something, whether it's good or bad. But if we can harness that emotion and take a positive action, that's when we get incredible results.
Well, I think you will. We'll talk some more about the book in just a moment. It's called Dance Until It Rains, Life Lessons from My Mother. The author, Andrew Jobling, is talking with us tonight, chatting on Brisbane's Own 1116 4BC. Brisbane's own 1116 4BC. We're talking to Andrew Jobling tonight in Profile on the radio station, and talking about his new book, Dance Until It Rains. It's life lessons from your mother, Andrew. And I think these are the sort of lessons that a lot of people in Queensland who are rebuilding their lives post-cyclone, post-flood, could really do with at the moment.
I think there's a lot of people all around the world right now, Walter. I think it's a bit of a world gone crazy at the moment.
Hasn't it? You look at New Zealand, you look at Japan, everywhere you turn, there seems to be some sort of natural disaster that people are recovering from.
Look, I think we all know the two certainties in life are death and taxes, and I think the other certainty in life is that there are going to be obstacles, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be things that happen that we just don't want to happen, and whether we like it or not, you've got to deal with it.
Mm. And that's how you deal with it, isn't it?
Exactly. And I mean, it's just one of those quotes that's been around a million years. It doesn't matter what happens to you, it's how you react.
Mm.
Respond to what happens is how you sort of develop into the person you become.
Mm. And that's basically the centre of what you're saying here in Dance Until It Rains, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. That's the main message is, you know, whatever happens, just keep your eye on what it is you want. And my mum wanted to live, you know, and she just wanted to be around. She wanted to be there for a family.
Mm.
And that was a strong enough desire for her that she would, you know, it meant that the things that came across her path, the obstacles, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of horrible things that she had to overcome, but she never really, she never complained, she never blamed, she just thought, okay, well, whatever I have to do to be alive and be around with my family, I'll do it.
Mm.
And I think, you know, the same applies to, obviously, everyone in Queensland at the moment that's going through cyclones and, you know, have lost their homes and lost all these things. Well, you know, all you got to do is focus on rebuilding and building stronger and better, and it just makes the effort to get there, it just makes it not necessarily easier, but it certainly makes it more, no, it just makes it more meaningful.
Mm. We'll come out stronger. What doesn't break us makes us stronger, right?
So true.
And there's a great quote in here, and I've heard this before, but every time I hear it, I love hearing it, and it's the Hillary Cooper one. Life is not measured by the number of breaths you take, but by the moments that take your breath away. And this is in the chapter 18, live every day as if it's your last. And that's a good adage to live by, isn't it?
It is. And one of the things about Mum's story is that she died. And I know what people would be saying. No one's actually said it to me, but they'd be going, well, what's the big deal? Like, she died. You know, because when you look at cancer stories, you see, I mean, there are always stories of people that have survived and overcome, you know, like Lance Armstrong and all those sort of things.
Mm, that's your first chapter, in fact.
Exactly. But the message is, it's not about how long you live. It's about what you do with the time that you're given.
Yeah.
And I think
it's the life in your years, not the years in your life.
That's right. And one of the things that inspired me about Mum was in the last 15 years of, you know, those 15 years when she was faced with this, she thought, right, I'm just going to get out there and live it. I'm going to do the things I haven't done. I'm going to fix the relationships that need fixing. I'm going to travel to places I've never traveled to before. I'm going to change the way I think and feel and be a better person.
Mm.
And, you know, those 15 years, I think if you were to ask her now, she'd go, well, even though she had the cancer, you know, those 15 years were the most precious, special years out of my 69 years that I was on this planet.
Mm. That's great that she can look back at it like that, you know, up until the point of death. Every day is a lesson, and there are plenty of lessons in this book, Dance Until It Rains. She was a remarkable lady, but you're not an unremarkable person yourself, Andrew Jobling. You're an in-demand speaker. You're a mentor for individuals, teams, companies. They all want you, don't they?
Well, well, yes, I think I've inherited a lot of my mum's traits. You know, I've got that ability, I think, to keep going and overcome, and I've had to overcome a fair bit of stuff. You know, I was, a St Kilda footballer back in the 80s, and there was some pretty, now they're entertaining stories. They weren't that entertaining back in the 80s, I can tell you, when I woke up one morning at the end of a season and read that I'd been delisted from the club in the newspaper, and you know, how do you overcome that and the things that you do, and you know, it's just people want to hear. This is what people want. They want to know how to make their life better, and they want to hear stories of average people that have done
just that,
more than average stuff.
Yep.
You know, and that's what people want, because it gives them hope and it gives them belief that then if Andrew Jobling can do it, or if Sue Jobling can do that, well then why can't I have a better life? And really that's the goal. You know, my whole goal in life is to inspire people to believe that they can do whatever they want to do.
Mm. And from the football career, you've also held other careers as a primary school teacher, a personal trainer. You've had a varied life, haven't you, Andrew?
I have. I'm the sort of person that I don't want to leave things to chance, and you know, I don't want to go to my grave wondering I should have done something, or what would have happened if. I just, you know, you do make mistakes with that attitude, but I think, well, I'd rather make mistakes and have a crack than never have tried and always wonder. And there is another saying about, you know, what would you rather, the pain of failure or the pain of regret?
Exactly. And, give me the pain of failure over regret any day.
Because you can always overcome that. And failure is only failure when you stop trying. Mm. You know, if you make a mistake, well, you just learn from it and keep moving.
Exactly. Well, that's the only reason I'm doing Talkback Radio, is I thought, if I don't do this, I'll never know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to die not knowing.
So true.
So that's why we are talking tonight. We're having this chat. You're also the author, and girls are going to love you for this, of Eat Chocolate, Drink Alcohol, and Be Lean and Healthy.
Yes, I am. I am.
Now, how do you get that combo to work?
Well, listen, mate, it's really just to sell the book. There's nothing in it. It's just all blank pages. The title wins. Well, that title was born out of, again, many years of being an idiot, really. Like, I came out of a professional football career with this mentality of all or nothing, no pain, no gain. And, and I was 100% believer that all you have to do was train really, really hard and train until you can't walk. And if you vomit, that's good. And when I actually became a personal trainer, I took that same attitude with me. And, you know, I punished my clients and wondered why they weren't showing up and getting injured. I thought they were weak. But I realized, no, Andrew, you're an idiot. And that's when I started focusing on nutrition and really saw the incredible power of good nutrition and really that it was 80% of the impact that on good health is going to come from your nutrition. And so with that same all or nothing mentality, I then gave up alcohol and gave up chocolate and gave up all the good stuff and expected my personal training clients to do the same thing. And wow, that blew up in my face pretty quickly. So I then started to really look at this impact, and I honestly believe that you can eat, you know, there is room in everyone should be able to indulge. Why not? I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we're here once, and the last thing you want to do is, I see people all the time thinking that they have to give up all the food they love just for the sake of better health, but what about the enjoyment that we get?
What about enjoying life? Yeah.
Exactly, and there is balance, and I'm living proof that you can drink alcohol.
Well, you look pretty fit.
Well, I am, and my life, because I have good habits. Mm. And that's just the thing. I mean, a lot of people go, well, I eat chocolate and drink alcohol, but how come I'm not lean and healthy? Well, it's the other habits you've got to get right, like the exercise and getting breakfast every day, drinking more water and eating more fruit and vegetables.
Exactly.
Everyone knows. Mm. We all know it. And it's not about knowledge, and that's, I guess, where Dance Until It Rains has moved out of, like, Eat Chocolate was, you know, published 6 years ago.
Yep.
When I was more in that actual process side of things. Well, now I realise that everything I've written in that book, you know, you'd read and go, well, yeah, I know that.
Mm.
Yeah, the question is not what do you know, the question is what are you doing?
But now you're approaching the holistic side of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Andrew, you're a happily married man living in Melbourne these days,
yes,
the lovely Laura. Are you still a Saints supporter despite the delisting?
Yeah, I am. I've got over it. I spat the dummy for a while. I said I vowed never to barrack for them again or speak to them again or watch them again or anything, but no, I'm over it now. But now I just want them to win a premiership, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it was so close. It was frustratingly
close.
Close
for so long. And and
I know, mate. I'm a Saints fan too.
Well, then we're feeling each other's pain.
Absolutely. Good luck with the book, Andrew.
Thanks, Walter.
And it has a stack of universal life lessons in it. It's Dance Until It Rains. Simple book, simple message. Its author, Andrew Jobling, having a chat with us. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate your time.